So Commerce Tools was not only a role model for our name, obviously, but also actually played a really important role in founding Fulfillment Tools.
All that and more in this episode of the Commerce Tomorrow podcast.
Welcome to the Commerce Tomorrow podcast. Your one stop to learn about the technology that's powering the future of commerce. Here are your hosts, Dirk and Kelly.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of the Commerce Tomorrow podcast. I'm joined by my co-host, Dirk.
Hi, everybody.
And today we're excited to be joined by Bjorn and Linda from Fulfillment Tools. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
We'd like to get started by learning a little bit more about your backgrounds and careers to date. So how did you get to the seat where you're sitting today? Bjorn, maybe start with you and then pass it over to Linda.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Bjorn Dorschel, and I'm one of the managing director at Fulfillment Tools. I'm responsible for the areas of product and technology. My background is more on a logistics base. So, and previously I was a chief product owner for Fulfillment within Rewe Digital, where I and my team created the Fulfillment solution for Rewe's e-food businesses.
Maybe can you say quickly something about Rewe, because it's also a US a hosted podcast as well, and there the company is not so well known. And out of my personal experience, it's very hard for Americans to pronounce the company name even. So maybe you can give a quick overview on what Rewe is doing.
Rewe is a German company and based in the grocery sector. And Rewe, we have 3,500 supermarkets within Germany. And we are providing food. And in the last 6 years, we also provided e-food in Germany. So delivery service, click and collect, and so on. And to the whole Rewe group, it's also belonging. It's Billa in Eastern Europe. It's Penny in Germany, which is more the low-budget supermarket for grocery. We have touristic segments and so a lot of companies, but our focus is on grocery in Europe.
Very good. Linda?
So my name is Linda. I'm also managing director of Fulfillment Tools, and I cover the areas marketing, sales, and finance. I started my career in venture capital at a global venture capital firm. After that, I started my own company, and then in 2015, I joined Rewe Digital as an investment manager and worked with the Rewe Digital Investments, and one of these investments was Commerce Tools. So I was lucky enough to work with you guys for a few years. Yeah, and then at the beginning of 2020, we started working full-time on Fulfillment Tools.
Very good. So Bjorn, you covered Rewe, but maybe Linda, could you cover Rewe Digital and just explain the difference between the two for the casual listener out there?
So Rewe Digital was started in about 2013 to really drive forward the online grocery business, but also to bring forward the whole digitalization of the Rewe group. And that's really what Rewe Digital was founded for. And it grew very quickly, and it really showed how serious Rewe was back then and still is about digitalizing the whole corporation. And so we didn't only work on the grocery delivery business, but also on all other areas of digitalization.
Very good. For the Americans, it's very much like Walmart Labs, a very similar concept. Conceptually. So if we look at commerce platforms, they're very much for order capture, which is the customer, they browse, they shop, they add to shopping cart, and then the order is captured. And that's kind of where the commerce platforms end. What happens between that and the product arriving at their door? So what are the systems involved, the order management systems, the warehouse management systems? How does that all fit together? What happens after the order is captured?
Yeah, to make it simple, in between, so the whole logistics stuff, or in e-commerce you call it fulfillment, happens. So this means routing the order to the fulfillment location, pick the items, pack them into a package and hand it over via parcel provider to the customer. Traditionally, this process was carried out via extra warehouses for the e-commerce business. And from a systems perspective, the order was sent from the commerce system over to an ERP system, which normally includes also an order management system where the order is tracked, to the warehouse, warehouse's WMS, so the warehouse management system, where the order gets fulfilled. And once the logistic process were complete, handed over to a carrier who delivers the finished package to the customer. But however, this setup is currently in transformation. So customers have higher expectations due, for example, to Amazon Prime and so on than in the past. So a retailer's entire assortment should be available online and, if possible, even end up in the customer's hands within 1 to 2 days. So the delivery times are increasing and expectations are higher than in the past, and individual warehouses, like you have done fulfillment in the past, for entire countries and regions can no longer do justice on this. So that's where we currently are. So the whole setup you have built in the past doesn't fit to the expectations from now.
Yeah, understand. I think we will talk in a few minutes how fulfillment tools differentiates and stand out and what you can do with that. But before we get to this, so Linda, how did it come that you co-founded Fulfillment Tools? And where's the name coming from? It sounds a little bit familiar to me, but maybe you can put some light into that.
Yeah, so Commerce Tools was not only a role model for our name, obviously, but also actually played a really important role in founding Fulfillment Tools. Because we worked together a lot during the last few years, and I think we got a very good picture of what made Commerce Tools so successful. So out of our innovation hub at Rewe Digital, we looked very strategically at the assets we've built within Rewe, and especially within Rewe Digital and the whole grocery delivery business. And in addition, we got approached many times by other retailers that wanted to use our software. They saw all of our developers working on our own software because the standard market software didn't work for us and didn't work for this extremely complex business model of grocery delivery. So they came to us and were like, hey guys, why can't we use your software as well?
What are the problems that they wanted to solve, right? So what is the main reasoning for Fulfillment Tools? Björn already touched a little bit while describing the overall process chain, but what happened in the last couple of years that required a change on technology, or where technology becomes an enabler to increase the overall business, right? So what is the why and the driver behind?
So what always was a driver for us at Rewe Digital was an omnichannel perspective. There are many retailers that went from being completely offline to being completely online and really wanted to exchange one for the other. But at Rewe, we always looked at an omnichannel ecosystem. So that's really what was driving our software and what we think is very important. We felt that the need in the market really is that omnichannel retailers that have stores and also have an e-commerce business want to combine it all. And many retailers, it's two very separate worlds. And what we do with our technology is really combining both of those worlds and really get the most out of it. So how you really efficiently connect your store network to your e-commerce business, that's what we are doing.
So, and maybe to Björn, how's this technically been built, or how does it differentiate to other platforms, right? So is it API oriented? Is it more modular, going into kind of microservice? So how is, or where is it technically differentiating? And probably how does this then help to achieve the business goals that Linda already mentioned?
So within our talks in the past, in the last, I would say, 1 to 3 years with a lot of retailers, What we've got out is that every retailer is different. So whether in their process or their logistics infrastructure. And for this reason, we have built our platform on a modular base. So you can use individual parts or the entire suite from us. And that's also the reason why we rely heavily on the API approach, because so we want to integrate quickly into the existing system landscapes and at the same time enable retailers to adapt our products to their specific requirements. So we are software as a service platform. We are cloud native to scale together with the customers and so on. And those are all the, I would say, modern approaches you have to build with your platform to be successful within these times.
Kind of a follow-up question to that. I still see a lot of fulfillment-related software vendors not doing mock-based products. Why do you think that is, that in today's world that people still would not be using APIs or being truly multi-tenant, cloud-native, headless, and so on? Any thoughts on that?
It's because of the traditional view of the decision maker in companies. So normally in logistics or in fulfillment stuff, you bought the whole suite. So it was a monolith and you got it and you can use it and everything was fine, but you have to adapt to the system you have bought. And I think that's not, that's not the way to go in these times, because everything is flexible. Everything differs from time to time, and you have to go this way, or you are you are off, and you will lose your position in the market. And that's why you have to be flexible. Why, for example, modular platforms are the common state of the art, and that's why you have to scale with your customers. You have to be flexible with your products you provide or the process you can go. And that's why API first is also an approach, because my team, we have a big team, but not a reach or a huge team. And we make it possible that also our customers can adapt the process by their own. And we don't have to do something. So that's, I think that's the way we have to go for the future, and every provider has to go.
Yeah, makes sense. So you started in the grocery business. And I think that gives you a pretty big advantage, but maybe you could explain how you think that better prepares you to meet standard retail fulfillment needs. So what's unique about grocery, I guess?
Grocery is special. And I would argue e-food is one of the most complex fulfillment challenges. So on the one hand, customers order a large number of different items per order. Let it be fruit and vegetables, which we have to weigh and deliver fresh and undamaged to the customer. Or on the other hand, chilled goods, where we have to maintain the cold chain all the way to the customer. And these are just a few examples of many. What we have learned is how to solve these individual challenges in the best possible way without inflating processes or overtaxing the staff or blowing up costs. And we have managed and aligned on a similar base. We have managed a vast network of fulfillment locations within the Rewe Group. So we had a lot of stores. We have to integrate dark stores and also half automated warehouses to make the experience for the customers perfect. And that's what we want with fulfillment tools to hand over to the retailers. So we want to make our expertise available for others, because we believe we can use this experience to provide the ideal solutions for all requirements. That would be my.
One other question, right? So, and I just had it in mind for this conversation, because I just saw it in some other talks I have had in the last couple of weeks with some larger brands that are more and more going direct to consumer, right? So and obviously in the fashion industry and some others, and now with being 1 year in a corona pandemia, a lot of the stores became kind of useless, obviously, and it's pretty much foreseeable that after corona, or however we want to call this, they will not get the same traffic as they had before. And what I see a lot of companies preparing for while increasing their D2C business is, do they use these as kind of black sites, closed stores that we use as shipping stations to be faster to the consumer, right? So that I don't know, you're located in Cologne, that some of the stores a fashion brand has in the Cologne area are more becoming shipping stations than just showrooms for the customer. And what is the challenge that they are having, right? So to make ship from store, ship from warehouses and so on happening, and is fulfillment tools something that can help there? What's your take on that? I don't know who wanna take this.
I think you're totally right. Like looking at the whole pandemia, it's the retail landscape will change a lot, and especially the stores and the cities. And for example, we are talking to potential customers that are expecting that there will be many, many free retail locations within the cities that will be available very soon for not a lot of money. And they will use that as exactly as you mentioned, as kind of dark stores that they use to deliver, or as kind of micro hubs.
Dark stores was a term, right? I think I was too much in these Netflix, Black Op, Black Site, CIA movie kind of thing. But yeah, dark store, I think, was a theme. Thanks, Linda.
And and they will use that to be able to deliver on same day, because that's something that drives customers' expectations and also customer loyalty. The whole fulfillment process plays a huge part in customer loyalty and in the decision where I want to buy my goods online.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that, you know, the whole reason Amazon is so dominant is because they've nailed fulfillment perfectly. I mean, that is their competitive differentiator these days.
Absolutely, and they set expectations with the customers. And that's what customers expect, not only from Amazon, but also from all the other retailers.
Yeah, I know. I get angry if I have to wait more than a few days for a package. Selfishly. So if you look at the fulfillment vendor space, I think one word that you could use to describe it is fragmented. I see lots and lots of small vendors, very small niches. Why is it so fragmented? Where in the commerce platform space, for example, there are only a handful of big dominant vendors. You know, you could argue that commerce and fulfillment are, you know, two halves of the same problem. Why is one space consolidated and one is not?
Well, looking at the fulfillment software space, we also see some of the very, very big guys that are around for many, many years. And then we see all these little small guys that cover only small parts of the fulfillment process. And I believe that's because creating fulfillment software is a very, very complex business. And if you want to start creating such a software from scratch, it requires tens of millions of investment to really create a comprehensive software solution. It's nothing you build in 3 months and then you're up and running and can go and deliver a great software to demanding retailers. So on the one hand, we look at all the software that has been created really 15, 20 years ago, and that's just not state of the art anymore. And then you have these vendors that cover all these small pieces because it's just very hard work. It takes long and it takes a lot of money to create an end-to-end solution in fulfillment. And then when you are a retailer and you don't want a software that takes 3 years and 20 million in implementation, but still need an end-to-end solution because you don't want to work with 15 different providers for picking, for shipping, and et cetera, there aren't that many providers in the market. And that's where we have really our sweet spot.
So when you look at the top end of the market, right? So the category leaders, so not only in grocery, but in other retail industries as well, a lot of the large companies are starting to develop their own IP, right? So their own commerce platform, own parts at least of fulfillment software, own search capabilities, machine learning, customer insights, and so on. But not many of them are spinning this out, right, as a product that they also to provide for others, right? So what Rewe here is doing, well, it's maybe not the only case in the market. I think we could, if we look around, find two or three examples, but there are definitely far more large companies. So why do you think this is so rare, what you and Rewe have done with fulfillment tools, and why are not others doing similar kind of things?
I think if you look at traditional retailers, they are used to growing their business out of their core business. So they sell goods of a certain kind, and then when they want to grow, they add another category, but still do their classic retail business because they know their retail business inside out and feel very comfortable with it. And then going from selling groceries or books or fashion or whatever to selling software requires really stepping out of your comfort zone. And it requires a very entrepreneurial mindset and a very clear picture of the risks and opportunities in growing such a model. And furthermore, you really need to attract the right talent to make companies like that really, really big. And that's not that easy for a very traditional retailer. So I think it sounds so easy, but it's really a very complex task. So we are here to prove it now, and hopefully there will be many more retailers that will follow.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I just thinking about it, I think you're right. So it's definitely about the people that are in charge, right? So it's the company and the size is one thing that makes it complex, but also the leadership team really needs to want to do those kind of things, because you're always getting back wins, right? Even Amazon had those, right? So now AWS is probably the most valuable component of the business and being a tech company, but they all had these discussions, right? So when they opened a marketplace, why do we allow somebody else to sell the same product as we do, maybe at a lower price, right? So why do we offer our key IP technology to everybody else that they can do the same thing, and so on? But it proves if you do it right, you can create something that's far more valuable than just the main core asset that you have, at least long term, right? So it's a risky bet, right? So but. Probably required to build great things. So I know we're getting soon to the end of these podcasts. So therefore, one last question. What's next for fulfillment tools? What's coming up? What are your plans for 2021, 2022 that you can share with us?
First of all, at the moment, we want to establish ourselves in the market. And that's, I would say, this year is one of our main focuses on. Next step would be we want to expand. So to go out of Germany to Europe or other continents and so on. And what we follow is, I would say, your path, your successful path, which you both went with commerce tools.
I hope you can do it in a shorter time frame.
We try, but let's see. No? It's a challenge. It's a big challenge for us. But at the end, that's more or less our vision. Yeah, we want to be the innovation leader for fulfillment. And that's what you have done with commerce tools. And that's also our dream with fulfillment tools, to be on the right top of, for example, the Gartner reports of the world and so on.
Now, so as a young startup, fast growing, well-funded, so whoever now wants to work at the next generation of a fulfillment platform, I know you are hiring a lot of people and are looking out. So if somebody who is listening to that is interested, where should they look for jobs and applications?
Go to our website, fulfillmenttools.com, and there we are looking for people in engineering, in product development, in sales marketing. So we are looking to employ more than 20 people this year. And we are still looking for many, many great colleagues.
That's great growth. It's good to hear.
Awesome. Yeah, I think this is a wrap. Thank you so much, Linda. Thank you so much, Björn. We will follow you closely, obviously, right? So and be involved. And yeah, good luck on growing the business 2021. I think you had a good start, and keep it going. Thanks for being on our show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.